The Badgers beat the number two team in the land on the road in the Michigan Wolverines. That alone would be enough. But Wisconsin has been busy. Wisconsin football has been busy too. Adding pieces through the transfer portal and reshaping this roster one position at a time. A big win. Some big roster changes. A big step forward. And maybe a little bit of a release for some of you Packers fans that can just talk about the Badgers for an hour. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Saturday evening again to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. That Michigan win might be the biggest moment of the season for Wisconsin basketball, and we'll talk about why. But football doesn't stop, and neither does the portal. We're breaking down every position group, the additions Wisconsin has made, and the spots that still need serious attention. Two programs, two very different paths, same conversation, progress or not. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Thank you so much for your continued support of the show. A couple of quick programming notes to kick off today. Sorry about the Packers. Listen, as a Colts fan, we're not even in the playoffs. I'm sorry, Justin. I'm sorry to I know many, many of you listening to this right now are Packers fans, and you're probably super down about it. So let's take the Packers, and we're going to talk about it a little bit here. I'm going to give Justin a moment to air out his issues, and then we're going to just move on and talk Badgers for the rest of the time. I know it's difficult. I'm sorry for the Packers fans out there. It's awful. Justin, how are you feeling about that, man?
I mean, it's not even a Bears thing, and there's game specific. I'm so tired of watching dumb defense, and when I say that, it's just I've never seen a team that so consistently has players running free on the back end like the Packers do. It's like, this is not a smart defense. And it's, I've said it since the beginning of time, basically with them since the Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl they were in. We draft for athleticism. We never draft for guys who are smart football, good football players. And it shows when there always seem to be a step late on stuff or out of position on things. And you get carved up by teams that have players. And that's this second half. We lose one player. I mean, the second half of the season, we lose one player, and this just falls apart because you lost your pass rush. But the coverage has been terrible for years now.
Yeah, it's bad. 21-3, just dominating the game. Again, I feel bad. Like I know what disappointments looks like. We're not even in the playoffs after being a 7-1 team, 8-2 start. So yeah, it's pretty rough. I understand. But hopefully you plan on watching a lot of NFL tomorrow, whoever you are out there. That's the reason we're doing the show today, actually. My brother-in-law's coming over. We're going to watch football all day. So that's why we're doing the show today. Well, you normally start with three and out.
The Niners for Ryan's support.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We normally do three and out. We're just going to talk about the NFL playoffs. Let's talk about the college football playoff a little bit as well. First of all, yes, our buddy Ryan, Niners fan, go Niners. I hate the Eagles. I would gladly see the Eagles lose every game they ever play. I think Jalen Hurts is the most overrated, nonsensical quarterback I've ever seen in my life. He's awful at quarterback, and yet he gets praised for being this great quarterback, which he's totally not. It's awful. Anyway, the playoffs, the college football playoffs. Wow, Justin, Indiana. I mean, wow. I don't even like Indiana, but I mean, come on, man. You've got to give this team credit. It's unbelievable what they're doing. The SEC is out. Big shock. Miami, Indiana, in about a week's or week plus time. I still think, I've been saying it for a while, I have a bet on Miami to win the title that I placed a couple months ago. I think Miami might do it, but honestly, if Indiana won this game by 30, wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, I think when I look at it, Indiana is the team that you can't afford to take risks against if you're a team. Miami can very easily lose this game by being overly aggressive because they're playing the type of quarterback that will absolutely chew you up and spit you out if you take chances and you don't get home. And that's the risk that they potentially take in that game. Playing against him because you can't really just sit and play straight up either because he will sit there and nickel and dime you down the field and beat you by just having 15-yard drives every time because he's that crisp of a quarterback that he can do that. I've said it before, and nobody seems to like everything I hear from like the people who are the professionals, what they talk about him as. I've said it, he reminds me of Rodgers because of the way he throws a football. Like, he's very, very accurate, and he's very on point with his throws. Like, they always seem to be right guy, right time situationally. And like today, somebody was talking about him, like Brady. I'm like, I think he's a better athlete than Brady ever was, so I can't look at him as that type of guy. And then I've heard like Matt Ryan, and I'm like, well, he doesn't remind me of Matt Ryan at all. I don't know why people see that. I think he's a better thrower than Ryan ever was. Not that Ryan was a bad quarterback, but I just think you look at some of the things he does mentally on the field, and it just looks like he's already a pro quarterback. Like, he's so over the college game at this point, like from an intellectual level.
I kind of like the Matt Ryan comparison, honestly. I feel like he stands tall in the pocket the way he delivers the ball. I think he does remind me a little bit of Matt Ryan. I think Aaron Rodgers was such a different quarterback when he was in the NFL versus when he was in college. Like, he learned under Brett Favre. He basically started throwing the ball like Brett Favre, and he is such a gunslinger. I will not put Mendoza anywhere near Aaron Rodgers, like anywhere near it. Aaron Rodgers is a legend. And Frederick and Mendoza, look, Fernando Mendoza needs to.
He's not pro.
He just needs to. I think he's going to be he's going to be the number one pick, clearly, or like the top quarterback taken at least. And I think he has a chance at being a good pro, but he needs to have a good team around him. He's not very mobile at all. Like, he's a little bit mobile, but in the NFL, he's not. And I just don't know. Like, you just never know how they're going to translate. I'm a little bit concerned about his overall moxie, that I don't feel like he has like that NFL grit. Just me personally.
I think that's safe to say. I don't know what level of toughness he has. It's going to be a different ballgame at the pros. I do think that mentally he's going to stack up really well in the NFL. And that's what we see with some of these quarterbacks. And it's one of the things just talking about why I don't like Caleb Williams in the NFL game. I just don't think he's the brightest quarterback intellectually. I think that there's some plays he can make that he's very physically gifted, but he doesn't always make the smartest decisions. And we saw that on a couple of the picks where it's like, why even bother throwing that ball? Like,
I think that oftentimes, like, he doesn't look, you're right, the toughness is the word, the grit, toughness. Like, if he gets hit a couple times, like, he's going to get hit a lot in the NFL, especially with the teams he's going to be drafted by. I don't know. We'll see. But good luck to him, and good luck to the Hoosiers. Even though I hate it,
The biggest thing that I take away from it, as I've heard people compare him to Kirk Cousins, and I'm like, he's better than that. Like, I think his ceiling is higher than what Kirk Cousins is.
Pretty good, man.
Yeah, but I think his ceiling is higher than that. Like, maybe he's a guy who I can legitimately see winning a Super Bowl. I never felt that way with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fair. Well, enough about the negativity in a moment. Let's just talk about the Wisconsin frickin' basketball team. Unbelievable day. Front story on ESPN for much of the day until the playoffs started. Just unbelievable. Badgers get on the road, beat the number two team in the country. And frankly, I've been saying for a while now, Michigan is absolutely the best team in America. I don't see how they're not number one. Now they're definitely not going to be. But we went up there and did exactly, Justin, what we have to do to win these games, which is shoot well from the three, 45%, 15 of 33 from 3-point line. They shot 32%. We had Blackwell 26, Boyd had 22, Billy Oskus all of a sudden shot 5 straight threes in a row, 17 points. Carrington had probably his best game as a Badger, 12 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. What a game from Braden Carrington. What's your initial thoughts? I mean, obviously we were both on the reaction show a little bit, but tell me some of your initial thoughts of that game.
Yeah, my initial thoughts were this team played kind of when we talked about earlier in the season. I said this, when I was on with you and Ryan, this is the ceiling that we talked about. Like, this is, if they're going to play hard, gritty defense, I don't think they're going to be elite by any means defensively, but they can be a very, very solid team defensively, and they shoot well. This is who they can be. And this is the first time we've seen it come together all in one game. It's one of the better shooting games we've seen from them this season, which they're overdue. It's so frustrating to watch this team, quite honestly, for me, because like a lot of these guys we've seen shoot considerably better than this in other seasons. And it's so frustrating to see them miss a lot of open looks this season on this Badger team. And that's the one thing I will say is that this team has done a pretty good job of finding open looks all season long. They just have done a bad job of actually hitting them. Today they hit them. Vilauskas did a heck of a job in the two-man game and that pick-and-pop game. Like, he was really effective in that.
You know, it's interesting. I was on a show last night with Ryan, and we were talking about, and he had said that one of the things that Michigan is actually a bit weak on, not many things, but one of the things is pick-and-roll defense, especially the ball handler and the pop guy. Like, it's – and it was showed today. Greg Gard was prepared for that. And, yeah, you're right. Bilyaskis made his threes. Nolan Winter made some threes. Blackwell made threes. But I think you're right. We were getting open shots, but I think we did a better job today of getting open shots than we have recently because of the way the ball moved on the inside. Yeah. Whether that's like into the post, Boyd driving in and dishing out. And let me tell you something about Boyd. Boyd took tonight. How many shots did he took? 16 shots. Still took a lot of shots, but he is six assists. He's way more focused on passing in the last two games. UCLA game again in this game, you can see a noticeable change, and I think in the way that Boyd's playing. Which is very refreshing to me because we had said if Boyd can actually be the point guard that we expected him to be when he came in and help Blackwell get his points and help Bilyaskis and Winter and all these guys get involved, then you really do have something special. And I feel like there's a bit of a turning point here, a bit of a corner turn here with Boyd and the relationship that he is building with John Blackwell, which has been an issue. You've been able to watch and see that it hasn't worked that well. I think it's working a little bit better now. And I think Greg Gard deserves credit for that. Brad Davidson probably deserves credit for that. And yeah, really, really great job. And honestly, big picture though, massive win. Mm-hmm. We were a team that was like, boy, can they make the tournament? I don't know. Our net ranking wasn't that great. We just won at the number two team in the country. You can't have a better win other than being a number one team. Like, that is an incredible win. To have that on your resume automatically will vault you in. We're probably going to get ranked. I don't know if we're going to get ranked. We're going to be right under it just because we're probably have to keep winning a couple games. But now we have this stretch that we can actually do something. So, yeah, what an impressive victory. I did want to ask you what you thought of Blackwell's game today. Like, what was your take on it?
I thought he was good. I still think there's times when I'd like to see him move the ball. Like, he drives into the lane, and it's like, just kick it back out, get rid of the basketball, and he will come hell or high water normally try to force some kind of shot if he gets stuck in there. And it's like, just live to have a better shot. Sometimes he does something nice and has a spin move or whatever, or creates a nice move where he gets something in there. He hasn't finished as well in the interior this year as he did last year. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see him continue to be the ball mover because he's kind of turned into a little bit more of a black hole this year.
Yeah. My issue with Blackwell, and again, I said today on our reaction show when I was on there for a few minutes that Blackwell was my player of the game. I mean, he had 26 points. He made 9 shots, made four threes.
He was very good.
But there were still some opportunities. You're right. Like, I don't really mind him shooting on the inside. If he gets to the paint, he wants to elevate, fade away, that's fine. It's the time where he actually dribbled in the front three-point line, dribbled back out, and shot a couple threes. He shot, I think, of his 8 threes, I think 3 of them were just like, wait, what did you just do? Mm-hmm. I don't love everything that we're getting from him. Now, he is getting better. He's definitely just like he's taking off a little bit, but Daltrey says this, and this, I think it's a good comment here. Blackwell gets lazy with his offense too often. I think that this is a really good way of putting it. There's just times, right? I've said the word uninterested in the past, and today I was like, you just kind of stop for the play. He stopped a little bit defensively. Like, he had a good game, but think about the game he could have had without some of those mental mistakes. We could have really seen Blackwell just totally take off. And I do want to highlight Braden Carrington. What a game. 12 points. 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Braden Carrington, I thought, put in some incredible, incredible minutes off the bench. I don't know. He played 27 minutes today. That's a lot. And boy, those were some very, very efficient minutes on the floor.
Yeah, him and Bialskis had 32 minutes. Like, so between the two of them, playing way above what they normally you'd expect from them in a game. So I would expect Bialskis to have, 25 minutes. So him playing 7 above that, Carrington probably playing about 12 above what you expect for him. Like, really good effort from those two guys to help elevate this team. Like, they needed those two guys to step up, and step up they did.
Yeah. I want to continue seeing Carrington playing more, which I've been saying for a while now. I'm not trying to just hate on Jack Janicki, but I just don't really want those. This has been my look after today. Braden Carrington has earned the sixth man. He is the sixth guy. He's the guy that comes off the bench and needs to play.
I think he's been banged up. There's clearly was something that was keeping him off the court. With Janicki, the issue that I have with him is that there's too many times when he puts himself into situations where he's kind of stuck and ends up having to, like, he'll get himself in the air where he has nobody to pass to, or he'll back himself into a corner, or he'll end up putting up a shot where you're like, it's early in the shot clock. You're not the guy that should be taking the shot. Like, there are players that I'm okay with Blackwell taking an early shot clock three pointer. I'm okay potentially with Boyd. I'm okay with Winter doing it. Jack Janicki's not the guy we want out there trying to drive offense. Like, I'm fine with it if it's wide open. In a, you know, situationally speaking, and this clock is getting, say, down to about 10 seconds, I don't want it happening at 20 plus.
Yeah. Couple comments here. Definitely want to get into what Craig just said. We're getting into that. But Dominic, good comment here. Janicki did a hell of a job contesting without fouling at the end, though. Absolutely. He did a really good job, stood straight up, did not jump, did not leave his feet, and had a really good play there. Craig Sparks, not enough talk about all those missed free throws in the last few minutes of the game. That would usually kill a team's lead in close games. Listen, we were in the Discord chatting. I 100%, and I said it. I'm like, that just cost us the game. Missing two front ends of one-and-ones, which, listen, normally you're not in the one-and-one that late in the game. For some reason, the foul disparity was absurd in that game. There's no reason for it to be like that. I know Michigan's a good team. They're very disciplined, and Dusty May's a great coach. But, you know, Carrington missed the front end. Blackwell missed the front end. You can't do that. Luckily we escaped with a victory here. It very well could have gone the other way because they missed threes down the stretch that normally you would think they would hit, especially at home, Justin. And then we're sitting here talking about how we blew it with missing front ends. You can't do that. You only have three one-and-ones. You can't take two of them and miss the front end. You can't do that.
Well, and the funny thing is, this has been something that's been happening all season long, but we are, I think, the best free throw shooting team in the Big Ten. And without a doubt, we really struggle whenever there's any type of pressure on free throws to consistently hit them. Like, it's, you know, when a game starts getting tight that I just expect a guy to miss. And I said it when they do, I'm like, watch Carrington miss the front end on this. And then boom, he does it. And I'm like, come on, guys.
Last year, we were the best free throw shooting team in the country. And we weren't like this. We actually made those front ends, but this year it has been an issue. And I'm hoping it gets solved because you're going to be in tight games. You can't miss those. And again, it's very rare that you're in the last minute or two of the game and shooting one and ones. That rarely happens. Mm-hmm. So that's unlikely. But I wanted to just quickly mention the games we have upcoming here because there's a nice stretch. Now, we're probably going to lose one of these games we expect to win, but we're going at Minnesota, home to Rutgers, at Penn State, home to USC, home to Minnesota, home to Ohio State. That's a lot of home games there. In the next six, you can definitely see us play the Gophers twice, SC, Ohio State, Penn State. Like, Justin, there's an opportunity for us to go 5-1 here, 6-0, and be in a really, really good position in the Big Ten Conference to really push towards the tournament.
Absolutely. Like, we talked about it on Ryan's show and after you left, and I said, this is kind of their proof of concept for Greg Gard. Like, this is his, where he can step and, you know, just basically show the film and say, hey, guys, this is what happens when you guys play good defense. You go out there and you make teams get frustrated a little bit. Michigan is the best offense we're probably going to face all season long. Most teams won't be able to. I told you what their ranking was. The Torvik, I looked at it. They had 88.3, I believe. The closest team to them has a 90.8. So they're a full 2.5 points lower than any other team in the country on defense. So, yeah, they are considered the best defense of the country by a fair margin. Honestly, this can be your calling card. This is how you get yourself into good situations. And I think it carries over to offense. I just do. I think when you play good defense, good things happen on the offensive end of the court. especially because if you frustrate the other team, they end up throwing up shots that they don't like, which can lead to breakouts, which can get you in some situations where maybe you get easy shots or are able to get to the rim. So continue to play good defense like this and good things will happen the rest of the season. We've seen what happens when it doesn't, when you don't play good defense. You have games like Nebraska where you get blown off the court because you're just letting them score at will.
I mean, Nebraska is probably going to be what, a top five team this week. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing. The reason that it's so important that we get these wins here in the next, the rest of January is you look at February's schedule, and we've seen this before. You and I have talked on this show about having a great January and a pathetic February. Mm-hmm. We got Indiana at Illinois, Michigan State, Ohio State again, Iowa, Oregon.
Murderer's Row. Of course, right at the end of the season before going into
that. Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult schedule, the back half of the Big Ten. So we do need to try to get our wins here. Obviously, we're in a good spot now. The Michigan win is absolutely insane. 3-2 in conference at this point. You've got six games in front of you that if you can win five of them, you're in a really good spot. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. I think it's nice. And what a – it's just a nice thing to have the weekend. Again, Packers fans, I know, rough day, but – the Badgers' perspective, very, very solid. And getting that kind of victory is just, I mean, it's marquee. It's not just a good win. It's a marquee win. It's something that probably no one else will do the entire season is go to that building and get a win there. All right, man, let's go on to football. That's the big thing, the transfer portal. On this show last week, it had only been the portal had just opened. And we were talking about when the announcement was going to come out for Colton Joseph. And all we talked about was Carson Van Dinter. And look what has happened in a week. We've got 24 commits or signees.
Oh, there'll be more yet.
There's going to be more. And man, am I impressed with this roster. So what we're going to do is we're going to put up some graphic here, talk about the people that came in, just some quick hits on them. And then we're going to go position by position, Justin, to really like dive into, you know, because we did this before, right? So now it's like, how did we do so far? Where are we comfortable with the room? Are we not comfortable with the room? Are you happy with the ads? Because we're going to answer those questions in each one of those positions. But let's quickly just talk about who came in. So we went over this last week. Here are the ones who went out. Nothing to really talk about here. Obviously, Eugene Hilton was listed here, is no longer there. He's back from the portal. And then we lost a few defenders, but incoming offensive players, QB Colton Joseph, QB Deuce Adams, running back Nate Palmer, running back Brian Jackson, and running back Abu Sama from Ohio State. That's probably one of my favorite players. A couple tight ends, Jacob Harris and Ryan Schwendeman, two wide receivers and Shamar Rigby and Jalen Domingo, and four offensive linemen, Blake Cherry, Lucas Simmons, PJ Wilkins, and starting center, what will be starting center, Austin Kowecki. This group right here, Justin, what's your overall, we're going to get into the positions here, but what are your overall thoughts on this portal haul here offensively?
First off, apparently it's Jalen DiMaggio is how it's pronounced, which
really?
Really? I had no idea, but that's apparently how it's pronounced. I swear to God it is. I think they did really well. I feel like there's a lot of work that was done to stabilize this offense. I've been really impressed with the offensive line. Now, ideally, you would have liked to have gotten a bunch of guys that are experienced people. I think they did a nice job of grabbing guys who are probably ready to be starters in some of the guys that they picked up. I really like Lucas Simmons. Like the early returns on the snaps that he has had have been really good. He's been rated super high. I believe he's got 81 snaps to his name this last year. Zero pressures in those 81 snaps. So he's a guy that I expect to potentially take over that right tackle spot. I feel like he's more of a like ready to play slide in option there than Mandel, who would take some work to get up to snuff. Looking at some of the other guys there, Blake Cherry's probably going to be a guy that really it gets put into working with the guard rotation. I feel like we really shored that up with some competition at that spot for both sides, which I think is really a big deal for this offense. And one of the guys that I really liked, and I've kind of argued back and forth in Discord a little bit on this. I like Deuce Adams. I realize he's not a guy that has a lot of experience. And I kind of had the response in there was you get people who want us to have an experienced backup. And I'm like, you realize that's not how this worked. Like in the old days, guys weren't experienced that were the backup. What they were is they were guys that were in your system for 3 years who you felt comfortable with putting out on the field because they understood what you were trying to do in all the plays that you were trying to run. They weren't really guys that had a ton of snaps to their name. They might have got into blowouts, but they rarely played. And I think I like the athletic profile of him. I think he's probably got the best arm on the actual roster, outside of maybe Hopkins coming in. But I think what he does do is he fits what you're trying to do offensively. He's a guy who can run a good bit. He's got, a really nice kind of a whip of an arm. And I feel like he's probably to the point in his development where if you had to play him, you wouldn't feel uncomfortable with that. He's more advanced right now in the little time that I saw from him than what we've seen from Carter so far.
Yeah, I think, Deuce is a good ad, for sure. And ultimately, though, I think what this proves is that we spent some money. That's clear.
Absolutely.
We got some really, really good talent in here. Like, obviously, the star of the class is Holton Joseph, no doubt about that. I think Abu Sama and Austin Kowecki are my two other offensive guys that I love that we got. I think Shamar Rigby is another guy that could be very good at the receiver position that I think is underrated at this point.
I don't think there's anyone I look at that you're like, I don't understand this pickup. Like Brian Jackson even has some nice things. He had turf toe this year, which was part of the reason why he didn't play much for USC. So even him, like he's a guy where if you watch the film, you can see where the skill set is there. Like he's a guy with nimble feet. That's a big guy that I think gives you kind of a battery ram added into this offense a little bit and gives you some options in the backfield, which I think last year he's kind of like a bigger Atuka in some ways.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
Abu Sama brings that physicality too. And that's why I like him so much. Cause I think it's similar to an Atuka, just a very physical style, but ultimately there were needs on this team, and the coaching staff did a very good job, I think, so far of addressing specific needs at specific positions. We're going to get into those in a minute. I want to also pop up the defensive players here. So we've added defensive lineman Hammond Russell and Junior Poyser, and we've also added edge rusher today, Jaden Lofton, big pickup today. Our highest rated player in the portal, actually, officially. He's a 4-star transfer from Tennessee. Justice Boone, the edge rusher, and linebacker John Kamara. 4 cornerbacks have entered the room. Eric Fletcher, Bryce West from Ohio State, Javon Robinson, Kai Bates, and 2 safeties, Carson Van Denter, who we talked about last week, and Marvin Burks Jr. What are some of your initial thoughts on this defensive portal haul here?
Number one, there's a possibility we're not done at corner.
No, we're not done.
I've heard some things.
We all know who we're talking about. We're not done. Maybe we get Scott. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. My favorite guy out of this group, there's a lot of pieces to like, is Junior Poyser. He's just a bulldog in the middle. He just constantly is moving forward, very violent for an interior guy. I think he's going to be really, really good for us. He reminds me of, I think he's Suggs with a little more physicality on the interior. And I legitimately mean, like, I think he's an upgrade to that spot. I think you feel really good about the athletic profiles of the guys at corner that they're bringing in. I've heard Kai Bates is kind of he's being thought of as a versatile piece. So he may slide to safety. We'll see what happens there, especially if Mr. Scott chooses to join the team. I would assume that he does slide to that position, which would make sense. You have somebody who has some versatility, who is definitely an above average athlete for the safety position. So I really like what they've done to restock that secondary. I think we felt last year it was kind of on the weaker end of the defense. And I think we would say that now there's potential for it to be very, very good.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, that's a pretty big portal haul when you talk about the cornerback room. Javon Robinson, I think, is a guy that I want to highlight. Experience, really, really good physical tools, really good athlete. He was a guy that was lower on my radar. And then Ryan talked about him, and I watched his film, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, this Robinson guy could be pretty good. And I've got a lot of comments on John Kamara. Also, I think Zach Bartz really likes him. Just being a
athletically, he's a freak of nature.
Total athletic freak. And that was, I think, the term that he used. I think it was Zach Bartz. And
he's something like a 40-inch vertical, and he runs like a 4.6 or a 4.5 or something like that. He's a crazy athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. all right. So let's go talk through some of the positions here as far as who's in the room, who's out of the room at this point, and kind of where we stand, and are we good with where we are? So obviously we'll start with the quarterback position. I think we're pretty good with it now. We've obviously got Carter Smith is still in the room. Ryan Hopkins is in the room, and then you've added Colton Joseph. You've added Deuce Adams. I don't really think there's any reason to. Danny O'Neill technically is still there. He'll come back after his Achilles injury. We're not going to get anything else. I think overall that's an A for me. I'm very happy with that room.
Yeah, I look at this as a – Deuce is a really nice add because it doesn't put insane pressure on Carter to have to take that next step this coming year. If he's not totally ready, you have somebody who's a little more seasoned than him that potentially can be a quality backup. And I think that that's a big deal for this team. Like as much as people thought that Danny O'Neill was a nice pickup, I feel like if you look at Adams in terms of like the actual skill set and tools, I just feel like he's a better player. That's no slight to O'Neill, but he's got better size. He's got a bigger arm. Like there's a lot of things that he adds to the equation that I think that were concerns with O'Neill to a degree last year.
Yeah. Ultimately, my biggest thing here is we got our number one guy. We went out, we said this low last week. We set our sights on Colton Joseph. We landed Colton Joseph, who is a guy that other schools were in on, other big schools, Florida schools were in on him. He was definitely one of the best group of five quarterbacks out there. I mean, there's a handful of those guys. He's on that handful of list. Probably, in my opinion, top 15 portal quarterback. I think he should be a four-star. I have no idea why he's not listed as a four-star. I think that's crazy. He should be.
I would not take much from the portal ratings at all because I don't feel like – no, I agree with you. I think that he's an easy four-star to me, especially with some of the garbage that they've had in the top 10s for those portal quarterbacks. He is significantly better than quite a few of those guys. Some of them have been downright bad at times that they've been rated ahead of him, and I'm like, I don't know what we're doing here. Like, he's shown the ability to be a playmaker, and he's done some really good things against good teams. And we have guys that are just horrific at times that are rated in the top 10. Like Lagway was bad most of the season. Like, wasn't he like 16 touchdowns and 13 picks or something like that? That's not good. That's like losing your job bad if you would have stayed at Florida.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess I see it as he is significantly underrated in my opinion.
In the running back room, we've got Darian Dupree in the room. We've got Gideon Atuka. We don't really know what Gideon Atuka's situation is. He very well may not play. Yeah, I mean, it's likely just out. We do have a freshman coming in, Quantavius Wiggins. But obviously with Sama and Jackson and Palmer, I'm here. I'm good on this. I feel good here. I don't think we need to add any more. We could focus on other positions. I like what they did here. I like the profile that they got, specifically that Atuka type, like that bruiser type of a player that's just physical, not afraid of contact. That's, you watch Abu Sama, man, that guy is going to be a load to handle. And I'm really excited about him joining our team.
Yeah, I think that we kind of talked about him. Ryan compared him to Tywee Walker a little bit with just a better version of that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really good way of explaining him. I think he's a more productive, he's got like, the physical tools, he's a little bit quicker than Tywee probably was. I think he's a little more elusive than Tywee was. But if you're getting that type of guy who's just a consistent guy who really brings it, I think that gives you a baseline in that room that we just didn't have this last year. And that's partially driven by the offensive line, clearly. But I think that he gives you a guy that you can count on to go out there and take 18 to 20 carries if you have to and feel pretty good about it. Now, I do think there's other bodies in there where you don't feel like you have to give any of these guys, you know, more than, say, 15 carries. And I think that it's going to very much, it feels like, be kind of a, let's choose what our game plan is against this particular team or in this situation more so than we've had in the past.
Yeah, agreed. And yeah, very happy with that room. I think we're so far 2 of 2 on positions we're good. We're good with. Let's move to the offensive line. This is an interesting one. On paper, I think you look at it, you're like, okay, you got four guys, right? You got Cherry, you got Simmons, a couple other guys, Kowecki, obviously. But when you look at the actual starting lineup, Justin, and you look at Kevin Haywood being at left tackle, now you've got an open position at left guard because Brunner's in the portal, he's gone. You've got Kowecki at center. Do you have Mandel at right tackle? Do you have Simmons at right tackle? Like, it's interesting to me because this is a question that Ryan brought up, which I think is a very good point. Are we basically where we were last year, where if Kevin Haywood gets injured and isn't the guy that we expect him to be on the left side, then we're once again short on tackles. If we lose the tackle, are we down? Like, are you comfortable with the depth as it sits right now with the youth and the guys we brought in?
So I think you're in a better spot with the young guys that are behind them being able to provide something. I know they were pretty happy with Roski in their development. You know, we talked to Doc a little bit about him. At least I have. And he said that he's been doing pretty well at that position. I know they like some of the young guys. This is the tough part we're not privy to. We know Mateos has taken a look at all the footage that they've had from practices and said how he feels about what's in that room. Because I will guarantee you he's looked at every one of those freshmen and said, I like this guy, I don't like this guy, this is where I see problems with them. And that was a part of probably the wish list that they had for the portal. We had other guys that we felt like we could have attacked in terms of this room. We probably could have gotten more guys that were capable of providing depth, and clearly they feel pretty good about some of the young bodies that are in there. You also have a guy like Barrett Nelson who maybe is finally healthy, who can get back in there and be like a swing tackle. I don't like necessarily depending on him.
I don't want to depend on him, man. No. Like, that can't be where we are, right?
No, and I don't think we necessarily are. But he's another body in there that you need to account for, that maybe something goes right there and he becomes a piece that is usable. Layden Nelson is just kind of, I don't know what we call him at this point. I don't know if he ever truly came back from the injury. It doesn't seem like he's developed to the point where he's capable of being in the two deep. But I do think they feel pretty good about some of the young bodies. I know they felt pretty good about Davenport and
Roski.
Yeah, Roski and who was the other one? Powell.
Do you who do you think starts at right tackle at this point?
I think it's Simmons.
You think it is Simmons?
Yeah.
So you would put Mandel at right guard?
I would.
Yeah.
Same.
Any situation that allows Mandel to play his, in my opinion, his better position, which I think he would be like borderline dominant right guard. I think he's a really good right guard.
I agree. I think it puts him in a situation where he has less to think about and it requires less footwork. It allows him to just be kind of more of a brute at that spot. Which I think is actually his skill set. Like, I do think he's light on his feet and physical and athletic, but I think it profiles better at guard than it does at tackle. I just think that when you watch him athletically, he's kind of a just brute force. Like, he's just a road grader almost in a way. He's like they always say, he looks like he's like a dancing bear out there. That's kind of what he looks like to me. Like, I don't see him as a guy who looks overly agile out on the edge. I'm sure I think he can play tackle. I just don't see the ceiling there being as high. But I like the guard positions, the level of competition you have at those two spots. You have Cherry likely with him. And then you have Cubberly on the other side with who is the kid from Ole Miss? Quentin. Oh, I can't think of what his name is now. But the other guy, the big boy, the 6'5", 340-pound dude.
PJ Wilkins, are you talking about?
Yeah, Wilkins, yes.
Yeah. You're right. We've got a lot of youth at the guard position. We obviously got, you know, there's Powell and the Watts. There's a lot of guys in there. But if it were me, I would like to see one or two more offensive linemen, truthfully. Like, we can't have a situation like we had last year where one player goes down and the offensive line went to became honestly one of the weakest lines Wisconsin football has ever seen. You can't have that. So I think you've got to have another tackle, specifically another tackle that can either a full-on, full-bore, like starting right tackle, or a guy that can play behind Kevin Haywood if he gets injured or something. And then you couple that with Simmons and you're like, okay, you've got three starting tackles. You need three starting tackles. I don't think we have that right now. And that is what's concerning to me. Like, you're going to need assistance at the tackle position.
I think
one of those guys is going to go down.
Yeah, I think, and I realize what we went through last year, but I think we need to give Mateos the benefit of the doubt on this, that he knows what he has in that room, and just say, clearly he feels confident in what's there. that he feels like he can get by with what they have. I don't know how this, and like, we're, I mean, obviously we're all prognosticating on where these guys are going to end up. Like, I don't think we totally know where he's going to align guys. I think we feel pretty good about what we went over here, but he may have, maybe he has Mandela at right tackle yet, and he's got guys at guard that he feels, you know, good about filling in those spots. Maybe he's got Corey at guard now. I mean, it's really hard to say with how everything's lined up.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think Corey still is your backup center, honestly. You know, that's fine. I mean, we'll see, right? Like Zach Bart says, do we have room for that? I'm not against it, but we're in on Scott, Gregory, need a couple of wide receivers. Do we have room for that? I don't think we're going to get Scott and Gregory. We might get Scott or Gregory. Maybe we get Gregory, which would be my favorite player out of that group. We would love to have a pass rusher like that, but... Yeah.
It sounds like they have a really nice offer out to him, and it's a matter of he's in decision mode now.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, listen, just again, I wasn't really worried about this, and Ryan kind of made me worried about it. And then I started looking into it and digging in. I'm like, ooh, we really could use another tackle. So I'd like to prioritize a lineman here.
So I want to ask you though, because if this was pre-portal situation, would you still feel that way? Or would you feel fine going into the spring?
I would feel fine. You're right. Probably in a pre-portal era type thing, maybe. But I just, honestly, I'm just scarred after what happened this season.
I don't blame you.
Dude, like, we were atrocious in the offensive line. It was so bad. I just can't have that happen again because everything falls apart. Like, Colton Joseph's entire plan of being this great quarterback for us and everything we're banking on falls apart. If we Haywood injury again, though,
Kevin Haywood has to play. Yeah, you have to believe that the offensive line needs to be a productive running offensive line. Like, we need to be able to run the football. I made the point in the Discord earlier today. I said, how different is our season this last year if we're just able to run the football? Like, if we're a competent running football team, everything plays up a little bit. The defense spends less time on the field because we're able to maintain drives to a degree simply because we can run the football. We couldn't do either thing, and that was the problem, is the offensive line just wasn't good enough for either.
Yeah,
and that killed us this year.
And hopefully there is real development from the young guys. Like we've talked about, we've got a lot of young guys here. Davenport, Roski, Clark, Cubberly, Mandel, Watts, Powell. There's a lot of youth in this team. Mm-hmm. You couple that with the portal guys, we should be okay. But I'm worried, and I would like to – we're going to talk more about this. Like, I feel like this isn't – we're not done with O-line.
I didn't say we needed to be done. I don't disagree with you. It's just – I think you also have to put some trust in the guy you brought in at offensive line who has done a really nice job everywhere.
100% agree with that. I hope he can coach him up. Wide receiver is certainly an area where we could use some assistance. Let's talk about
– if we're going to grade this, it's incomplete.
So right now we got Chris Brooks. And that's pretty much the room. And then you add in guys like Shamar Rigby and Domingo. You've got Eugene Hilton has come back. Like, to me, this is a collection of twos and threes, which I'm actually okay with. I just want a few more bodies. I think everyone out there is feeling like we need a number one wideout. I don't think at this point in the portal, you're going to go get a number one wideout. You're not going to, I don't think we're going to get that because number one wideouts are probably not coming to play in our offense with our system and with Colton Joseph. Now, that's just my thought. There might be some Old Dominion guys he wants to bring over. I don't know. We're going to have a bunch of, you know, Eugene Hilton's a two. Rigby could be a two, maybe a three. Brooks kind of three. I think we've got some guys that if we just add numbers and good experienced talent, I think we don't need to go for like the number one guy. Because I just don't see us getting that. And I think we're going to have to be okay with a sacrificial position. If the line is in good shape and if our defense in good shape, we got our quarterback, we got running backs, like we might not hit heavy on wide receiver. And I think it's okay because the Jeff Grimes offense with a working quarterback can scheme open some of these players. And I'm not as concerned about needing to get that number one guy. Where are you on that?
So I think if you look at the depth chart, you look at this and see this feels like a team that's going through a year where they just had their upperclassmen graduate and now you're reloading with the young guys and you have a bunch of unproven pieces. And I feel a lot like that's what we're looking at this year. What I want is, I don't know if we have a guy that you look at and say, this guy is somebody who can actually stretch the field and be a guy who can consistently get over the top. That opens some things up. And that's what scares me a little bit with what we're seeing from this group. I think DiMaggio is a guy who has some upside to go deep,
it's
but I don't.
Domingo, by the way, it's Domingo.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I've, are you sure? Because I've seen people pronounce it the other way.
Well, either way, we'll just call him JD.
All right. All right. But anyways, what I'm saying is, we don't know how his skill set's going to translate, and I don't think there's people thinking that Rigby might have some of that. I think he's a 4'6" guy, who probably with his physicality and size may be able to get deep at times, but he's not going to outrun many people. Mm-hmm. Like if he's going to get behind somebody, it's going to be because a corner bites on something and he gets loose. So it's going to have to be route running. And it scares me not having somebody that I look at and say, this guy can be a problem. I think you can get by with it, but there's going to be games where we're absolutely hampered. Like we'd be lucky this year because we're playing a lot of teams that are not necessarily going to be the most talented. And what I mean by that is you're not facing the schedule that we faced this last year. Teams like Notre Dame are going to absolutely chew up our wide receivers. Like we're going to really struggle to throw the football against them if this is what we bring out on the field.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm picking us to win against Notre Dame. I'm already excited about that game. I'm already pumped. I'm already ready. I'm already pumped. Like I want to go to that game. It's going to be awesome. But
I want to go to it, but yeah. Man.
We're coming to stay at your house. We're driving. How far are you from Green Bay? Like an hour?
Hour and 15, hour and 20.
Yeah. So we're staying at your house. We're driving to Green Bay. Great. All right. Perfect. Thanks. all right. Tight end. Got in Jacob Harris. Got in Schwendeman. The room, I think, is I still think that Tucker Ashcraft was a loss, no doubt. But we've got some guys in there still. We've got some freshmen who I feel like are excited. A lot of people are excited about the likes of, you know, Bork and Davis. Steck is still there. I'm okay with this. Honestly, I'm okay with the tight end room.
Yeah, I think I look at this and I think this is going to be a room that Steck takes a big step this year. I actually think that he's going to be a productive piece of this offense. And I think he's a guy who's going to get showcased a little bit more. I think there's a really good chance that he actually ends up winning that spot over Schwendeman and ends up being the guy, because I think he offers more in terms of receiving threat. We'll see how this goes, but I do think that he can be a guy that gets you 15, 20 catches. I don't think he's going to necessarily be a guy that goes off the charts in terms of catches, but I think he can be a guy who's reliably somebody who can like chip and then drop into those short routes and offer some athleticism that kind of gets him some opportunities to pick up a little yards after catch. We'll see how it goes, but I do think he's ready now.
I like this comment here from Zach Bartz. Where to go? Harris feels like a solid red zone receiving threat. Absolutely. The guy's 6'4", 255. Really good frame on
he's athletic.
Yeah.
There's if you look at his highlight reel, he makes some really good contested catches.
Yeah. So offensively, it's really wide receiver. Clearly need a little help there. And I would think we need a little O-line for me. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, let's go to the D-line. That's a position where, you know, we lost a lot of production, obviously, last year with Barton and, you know, Lane and Suggs and Peterson and these guys. We've got Akpunu. We've got Johnson. We've added a couple guys here. Are you concerned here? Are you okay with where we are here?
I feel pretty good about that room. I think Poizer is obviously going to be a starter. I think you're going to either have Perkins or the kid from Illinois State probably as your other interior starter. And that gives you then some other guys in Akpunu who can kind of be brought along slow, and obviously Dylan Johnson, who if he's ever going to hit and be a productive, really productive offensive lineman, now is the time for him. But I think you feel pretty good about your five or six deep at that and those interior guys. And I think that should carry you this year, especially given that we have some flexibility and may potentially have times when we go pass rush heavy. Like you still have guys like Garner that can probably be slid in there in a pinch and play some of that, who's a big body around 300. But I think you do have enough bodies in there to really showcase with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I think Poyser obviously is good there. And the Illinois State guy, that's Jake Anderson, right? I think, I'm sorry, he's not on my list. I apologize.
They're really high on him.
Yeah, I'm okay with this room a little bit as well. I'm never going to shy away from wanting more bodies on the D-line because that's where you get your run stuffs. So that's how you can control games. And we've seen what happens when we don't have a good D-line. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we're very happy with the coaching at that position. I think that's very clear. The growth and focus on that last year, clearly we added more. And Poyser's a guy that's going to play, you're right. So I think we should be okay there. The edge is an interesting position. We did add Lofton today, which is a nice pickup. Let me just pull up the room now as it sits now. Of course, we got Clayton. We've got a guy like Letezu. We've got Cheeks still. There's still production here. Clearly, the name that everyone's talking about here is Oklahoma State transfer Wendell Gregory, who we are in on. We are in on him. We've made an offer. I've heard that it's a good offer financially, and he's considering us. That's where I'm at with it. So if we land Gregory and you add him to Lawson, who we added today, that's really nice from an edge perspective. And it puts us in a position to where we were like, okay, we can replace what the kind of production we saw out of Mason Reiger. And I think that Wendell Gregory does that. If we sign Gregory, I'm going to be absolutely just beyond excited about it.
And you'll have more flexibility this year because let's be honest, I think we both agree that Nick Clayton's ready to go.
Like you more than me, but yes.
I mean, they basically said last year, if Reiger wasn't as good as he was, that he would have been out on the field last year. So I think that he absolutely can be a guy who spells Gregory if you get him and can come out there and just be a guy who just gives that kind of high-end burst off the edge.
The inside linebacker room, of course, we've got our two starters, Posa, Catalano. We've lost C.A. Allegra, who went to Ohio State. I hated that loss. John Kamara has obviously come into that room. We've got Tommy Heiberger still there. We've got my freshman of the year next year, Ben Wenzel. I mean, you know I love that guy. I think that room is okay right now. I don't think we really need to go out and get another linebacker because we've got two bona fide young starters.
Yeah, I think those guys are going to play 90% of the snaps. Yeah. And I think Kamara's got a chance to put himself into the equation just because of the skill set.
Like replace a regular, basically.
Gets brought out there in certain situations as an athlete because he's going to be difficult to handle. I do think that Heiberger is going to be far better this year, which I really helps the defense overall. Now that he's finally healthy and out there on the field, you have a pretty strong group of linebackers in general. Like I really feel like they're going to be a handful for the Big Ten this year.
What do you think about Tim Breen's comment here? I think they moved John Kamara to more of an edge role. We got this question a couple times.
I think he's going to get some situational looks there, maybe potentially because of the athleticism, but they seem to like his ability to just be in space in general. And I think that we'll find out what they choose to do with him there. Like he feels like a guy that because he's such a freak athlete, as the coaching staff, you kind of try him in a bunch of different things and see where he excels the most. And you have that flexibility because you have guys set into spots that you feel good about.
Yeah, I think he stays on the inside myself because of that. He does have that athleticism. And you saw last year, some of the things that Tressel did was really blitzing those guys. And they would, like you said, situationally, they would bring CA and Posa and almost as edge rushers, but from that middle position and stunts and things like that. I think you're going to see that from Kamara. But ultimately, he provides depth at a position where, listen, Posa and Catalano were great. But if one of those guys goes down, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, is Heiberger in there? Is it Kamara? Like I'm okay. I want him to stay at the inside. I would have loved CA to stay with us because then you really had a good room. Losing Allegro, replacing with Kamara, I think that's fine. And I'm 100% okay with him staying on the inside. I think you're right. Situationally, they will use him as a pass rusher. Mehmet asks, is Clayton a starter? Do you think Clayton is a starter for game one next year?
It depends on what we're running for a defense.
If we get Gregory, he's not.
Yeah. If Gregory comes in, he's the starter. But if they go heavy on the edge, like there's going to be guys like Garner and Boone from Arkansas that they like in that role, who are kind of more like a hybrid, you know, strong side defensive end.
Kind of like a Darryl Peterson type.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And if you have times where you go light, yeah, it's probably going to be Clayton. Because he's – a lot will probably depend on him on how much he's grown into his body and how comfortable he is carrying that weight and moving. If he can show the physicality needed now, like in the strength, I think you have a guy that you feel really good about being able to potentially push at that spot. But we'll see what happens with that group. I do think Clayton's going to be when you look at it from a snap count standpoint at the end of the year, he may be the guy on that side that gets the most snaps.
Moving to the secondary to finish this off, I think cornerback room, I feel like we're in a good shape. We're in good shape. We've added four cornerbacks. We still have guys like Agard and Scott, Skanes, Washington, the young guys. And then you bring in four cornerbacks. I don't think we're bringing another body. I know that there people want Scott, and that's okay. Maybe like I'm fine if we get another one, but I would prefer that extra money go to wide receivers and O-line. For me, are my priority positions. I don't think we need either or. Huh?
Is it an either or?
I mean, I would say wide receiver primarily, but I don't think we need cornerbacks. I would rather not. I mean, it's fine if we get Scott, but then we got four cornerbacks. We already have four or five guys in the room.
I think what you're looking at there, and this is where it gets a little uncomfortable, is you'd probably be looking at West gets slid into the slot. Robinson's obviously got one of the probably your field side corner, and you're going to have a battle between Scott and Fletcher for that, what do you call it? Your short side, the press corner. And it's just whichever one can play that spot is going to be the guy that plays it at the highest level. This gets uncomfortable for somebody like Agard, where it's like, what do you do mm-hmm. with him? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he's not the profile that you necessarily like, but there's talent there. It will be really interesting to see how this plays out. And especially you have a new coach in Steeps, which you have to kind of take a look and see what he's really looking for in that room in terms of guys. We may see some guys, and I will say for certain players, it sucks that there's no spring portal, because I think there are going to be guys that look at this after the spring and say, I'm not going to be playing this year. Like it's zero.
It doesn't suck that there's no spring portal. It's amazing.
Don't get me wrong. As a fan, I'm glad it's gone. But I also look at it from the standpoint of there's going to be guys that may look at this when they get out of spring. They're like, I'm just buried. Like this is a wasted year for me.
Hey, well then guess what? You got to work your butt off in spring to climb that depth chart and in spring and fall camp.
I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, no, I don't want that at all. But I got some comments in here about probably moving to safety. Kai Bates, certainly you mentioned him earlier, moving to safety. I think that's fine. Listen, I want to be clear. If we can get Scott, we should sign Scott. Okay, I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying if we don't get another cornerback, I'm not going to be upset. If we don't get another wide receiver, we've got a problem, right?
I think we all agree with that. Yeah.
And safety, I feel like safety is same kind of thing. Like if we're okay, we got Van Denter, we've got Burks. Burks could be a really good player there. If we get one more, that's fine. We're probably going to have Kai Bates move over. The secondary is okay for me. For me, the secondary is okay.
Yeah. I think I feel that this is going to be an above average secondary. And I think potentially you have some really nice pieces. We know Posa can pass rush. We know Cooper can pass rush. We know you're going to get it. I think Cheeks, we really feel like he's going to take off this next year. I think that he could be a monster off the edge. There were games at the end of the season where you'd watch him and it's just like, they can't block him. He's too fast off the edge. He's just abusing guys. And that's where it was like, he was the one kind of picking up, mopping up when Reiger would start to force the quarterback from the other side and the quarterback would just try to move in that direction. It's like Cheeks is just there. Like yeah. You can't stop him. So
there is another big, big position that we need to spend money on. And that's right. Craig Spark said it correctly. It's kicker. Oh my gosh. Can we please get a kicker in this room? I'm not going in another year with another crap kicker. We can't do this anymore.
You don't want Gavin Lom?
I mean, I don't want Gavin Lom. I don't want Brandon McManus. If he goes back to college either, clearly Packers fans.
No,
sorry.
No. Come on, man.
Sorry. I had no choice. Listen, like we just need to get this done. And I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're talking to guys, but drop some coin, okay? Take that, take whatever money you've got left and go out and get a kicker that is going to consistently make it under 50 yards. You've got to have that in this league. We're going to be in closer games next year. We're going to be a better team next year. We can't blow drives and ruin offensive possessions by missing kicks. Got to happen. Sorry, Mr. October. He says too soon, Rajiv. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, Packers fans. Listen, it is what it is. Get a kicker, Justin. Has to happen. I've been waiting all week.
I'm not arguing with you. I just don't know if that's what the way they're looking at it. And I agree with you if that's the case that they're looking at it that way. I think that's a mistake, but I don't know, you know, what are we going to do? We're just the idiot fans talking about it. I think it's pretty obvious if he was that good, then you would have had him kicking over who we had this year. So honestly, it scares me a little bit that you're considering going with somebody who couldn't win the job this last year.
Yeah, it's a problem, and I'm going to trust that they're going to get this done. But listen, overall general thoughts, I think Justin, we're happy, right? We clearly need a receiver. We know that. I would like another offensive lineman. I'm not going to say no to Wendell Gregory for sure. Let's go on and get him. We need a kicker. There are a couple holes, but overall, man, if you were grading this overall from a transfer portal perspective, are you giving this an A right now? Because I am. I am very impressed with what this staff has done, getting their plan A targets, going out and getting a quarterback, filling needs all across the board. They brought that cornerback was an issue, so I like that they did that. They need to get a little bit more, but I'm very, very content with what I've seen so far.
I would put us at a B+. I think Justin receiver.
Justin is frozen. Yep, you know, Justin's frozen. There he is.
You're frozen on mine, so I don't know whose connection is. I would give it a strong B+. I think receiver scares me a little bit. I do understand. So I think there's two different ways to look at this. Working within the constraints of the damage that was done this last year to our perception, I think this is an A. Looking at it from the standpoint of what you would like to see in terms of a normal portal, if we don't have those limitations based off of how people are looking at us, I think we would have liked to have hit receiver harder. I think that, I'm trying to think of where else we might go. We might attack, like, there's a few positions that I think you'd probably look at, maybe edge we probably would do a little bit better. I think Gregory has a chance. Like if we don't get him, I think that's kind of a miss. That's a sizable miss. There are definitely positions that are an A+ to me. I think cornerback is one of them. You got a bunch of guys who are plus athletes at that spot that are really capable and some good experience too. And I think you have a really solid running back room that we were able to put in, which is something that we needed to shore up.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But overall, solid way to start the portal. I think we're happy with that. And we can build from here. We're going to be back again next week to talk more about this, more about the portal, more about basketball. I did a Rajiv's Corner episode during the middle of this past week and talked a little bit about the portal so far and kind of like turning the corner there and how we did there. Go check that out. And then obviously we're going to keep doing this. We might pop in midweek stuff with some transfer portal updates if we get them on a Wednesday, like we did with our three big things during the season. But then thanks for joining us. Final thoughts, Justin, anything else you want to touch on before we close the show?
Hopefully we can grab a couple more wide receivers and then feel like we close the door on this and are in a good spot. The downside of the portal that I will say right now, as much as people realize that it's still open, we also need to acknowledge the fact that there's not going to be many people that come into it anymore, because most of the guys that you'd actually probably want are already signed.
Which is why it was so important for us to get that good start and to land.
Absolutely.
I mean, we had 25 guys and it's been open for 9 days. Like, that's really special. And I think the staff deserves a lot of credit. Believe me, we have talked a lot about this staff. We've criticized. We've been very critical about this staff for a while now. And I think we can all give them their flowers. Great job by the administration. Great job being in sync from top to bottom, from the administration to the athletic director, to the coaches, to the staff, to the players. Everything has really worked well. It's a good start. Got to keep going. And most importantly, has to translate to the field. And we're less than 3 months away from spring practice, so that's fun. Have fun watching the NFL tomorrow. Good luck. If you have an NFL team still in it, Ryan Herrings, he's the one in this group that does. So hopefully his team wins tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, guys. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.